On Point is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston. The program is made possible by your financial support. Please pledge online at WBUR.org.
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. With midterm elections just 6 weeks away and Republicans sweating the outcome, why is retired Republican Senator John Danforth, who opposes abortion, gay marriage, and is himself an ordained minister, warning the GOP has been hijacked by the religious right? We'll ask him this hour on Point. Senator John Danforth on faith, politics, and the charge of hijacking. Later this hour, we'll be joined by Republican Governor of Arkansas, Mike Huckabee, friend of the Christian right and likely 2008 GOP presidential contender, and by longtime conservative activist Richard Viguerie. But joining us now from Chicago is John Danforth. He served 3 terms as Republican senator from Missouri. He retired in 1995 from July 04 to January 05. He was U.S. ambassador to the United Nations for George W. Bush. In 2001, he was President Bush's special envoy to Sudan. His new book is Faith and Politics, How the Moral Values Debate Divides America and How to Move Forward Together. Senator Danforth, thanks very much for being with us.
Very good to be with you. Thank you.
Hijacking and takeover are big words. How do you back those up?
Well, I think that the first thing that came to my mind, and maybe I was just slow in realizing it, was the Terry Schiavo case, where the Republican Party at the national level took the lead in trying to keep this poor soul hooked up to a feeding tube. I thought that it was the abandonment of what I had taken to be basic Republican principles, dealing with deference to state government and certainly not giving yet new powers to the federal courts, but it was a response to the outcry from Christian conservatives to save Terry Schiavo, and therefore Republicans in Washington went along with it and made this extraordinary effort, which I think a lot of people thought was just scary. And then it called to mind other issues also. The notion of amending the Constitution relating to the definition of marriage, certainly not an issue that belongs in the U.S. Constitution. Republican opposition to early-stage stem cell research. And all in all, it seemed to me that our party had become the party of the Christian right, the political extension of the Christian right.
And you're not mincing words about this. You write in the new book, Faith and Politics, you say, this is not just a coalition. You write, this is the takeover of the Republican Party by the Christian right, total victory of Christian conservative activism over broadly shared Republican principles. What are the implications of this for the country, in your view, Senator?
There's nothing more divisive than for religion to be that integrally related to politics. I mean, obviously, there are a lot of religious people who are very interested in politics and participate in government and who have strongly held positions on issues. But when a political party becomes this closely identified with one particular religious point of view, it's divisive for the country. It may be that it is, at least for a time, to the benefit of the Republican Party. At least that's what I think Republican strategists believe. But in the long term, I think the American people are going to get wise. They don't want a political party that is this close to a religious point of view.
We're going to dig into your analysis here, but what about Republicans right now? They're in a real fight for these November midterm elections, we're told, to keep control of the Senate and the House. Are they livid with you for sort of throwing this sand in the gears just as they come up on a big election?
Well, I don't think I'm throwing sand in the gears. I think that Republicans believe that this is great stuff in an election year. They think that opposition to stem cell research, they think that the gay marriage amendment to the Constitution, which they voted on just this summer, they think that this is just great. Pour it on.
But you're saying it's not great stuff. You said there's a tendency toward theocracy here. You're saying it's lousy for the nation. Isn't that, I mean, aren't you going straight in the teeth of a significant part of the Republican campaign strategy?
Apparently, the campaign strategists like this stuff. I don't think it's good for the country. I don't think in the long run it's going to be good for the Republican Party. And what I'm hearing from Republicans, and I've heard from a number of them, is that it's about time somebody speaks to this. I mean, for traditional Republicans, people who have been Republicans for a long time and who believe in the basic principles of the Republican Party, it has nothing to do with trying to divide the country on religious lines.
You know, I've read and heard GOP strategists today go after you on this and say, well, that's just fine, John Danforth. But, of course, when you were there in the Senate back at the beginning, 1977, Republicans were in the minority, and it looked like they might be there forever. So, you know, you can be happy with your saintly view of how things ought to be in this party in this country, but we're winning elections with this strategy.
I don't think it's any saintly view to think that religion and politics are two different things, and to think that people who practice religion and practice politics should show a degree of humility about the relationship between the two. So I don't think it's saintly at all. And I think that it is not a good long-term strategy. It may have had short-term benefits for our party. It's very divisive for the country. It's bad for the country. And I think that sooner or later, and I would say sooner, the American people are going to say, we do not believe that America should be divided along religious lines.
You write that religious people have engaged with government since Moses confronted Pharaoh. That's going pretty far back, and yet clearly you think there's something new afoot here now. I guess in some level it's a matter of degree. What is it about the degree of integration, or in your word, hijacking, that's different? I mean, you came to public office as a man of the cloth yourself. You famously brought your moral compass to the U.S. Senate. So down at the nitty-gritty level, what's different today?
Religious people have long been involved in politics and in government, and it's clearly motivated a lot of people and has motivated a lot of people. Religion is not something that you leave at the church door on Sunday mornings. It's something that you carry into your life and all of your life and your way of thinking about life. And I think that religion can have a very positive effect in creating a kind of thought process in which we can try to seek common ground. But religion also can be very, very divisive when it gets to be, you know, my way is God's way and your way is not. And I really do understand God's political policies, and my political views are God's views, and you are an enemy of the people of faith. And that's when it becomes very destructive of our country.
Where does it go, and how does it go from being a heavy influence in politics, perhaps the Republican Party's politics, to the takeover that you described, to the hijacking? How does that actually happen? Is it because party strategists believe that that's where the votes are, so when the fingers are snapped, they'll do what's asked? How does it really happen, or has it happened in your view?
It has happened. What the difference in American politics today is that both political parties appeal to their base, and it used to be that each party competed for the independents, for people in the center of American politics, people who had not made up their minds. But today the appeal is to the base, and we keep hearing at election time the same phrase, energize the base. And the base of the Democratic Party and the base of the Republican Party are very different. The Democrats also energize their base. Witness the fate of Joe Lieberman in the Democratic mm-hmm. Party. Mm-hmm. So what's happened to American politics in this appeal to the base of each party as opposed to competition for the center is American politics has become increasingly polarized. For the Republican Party, the base is the Christian right. And the way to appeal to the base is to appeal to the various issues that the Christian right brings forward. And that's what the Republican Party has been willing to do. And I think that that in part this is a result of the inattentiveness of people in the center and their inability to speak out with any degree of force. There's something about a moderate or a centrist that is kind of, you know, seems sort of mushy and not very strong, and therefore the people who are the most insistent, most demanding, are the people who represent the base, in the case of our party, the Christian right.
So how far are you willing to go 6 weeks before the midterms? Are you saying throw the bums out?
No. I'm a Republican. I'm a loyal Republican. I've spent 26 years of my life in elective office as a Republican. I have served in President Bush's administration as his ambassador to the United Nations. Before that, I was a special envoy for peace in Sudan. I believe in the basic concepts of the Republican Party, but I think that we are on very, very thin ice when our party becomes a religious party, when it becomes the extension of the Christian conservatives, and that's what it's become.
Dan's calling from Spokane, Washington. Hi, Dan. You're on the air.
Good morning, Tom and Senator Danforth. Senator Danforth, I've admired you for 20 years or more for your political statesmanship, and I've agreed with practically everything you've said this morning except one point, and that is that I am more concerned with how I feel the religious right has been duped, manipulated into supporting the party of the rich, which really doesn't seem to particularly have their interests in mind. It seems like, for instance, your example of the Terry Schiavo case is to me an example of how the Republicans in power have sort of occasionally thrown a sop to the religious right, but for the most part, the main agenda, it seems to me that the Bush-Cheney administration has been about, is doing what the party of the rich has done for most of the past 100 years, which is to make sure that big business and that the rich were kept happy.
Dan, stick with us. Senator Danforth, what do you say to that? John says you got the chicken and egg backwards. It's not, you know, takeover. It's a use of.
No, I think I've got the chicken and egg about right. I'm a Republican. I'm a Republican for what I think are the traditional reasons for being a Republican. I believe that the economy works better when taxes are relatively low and when the burden of government regulation is relatively light. I don't think that means that I'm for the party of the rich. I mean, no party is going to be successful if it presents itself as the party of the rich. The Republican Party presents itself as a party that believes in limited government. It believes in decisions being made at the local and state level insofar as possible. It believes that the role of the federal courts is to decide law and not to create new public policy.
But it has been the party of business.
It believes in free trade and so on. Mm-hmm. And so I am Republican for all of these reasons, but I don't believe that my party should be a sectarian party.
But do you think that the there are business people in the Republican Party who are not fools and who have been very influential in this party for a long time. Their eyes wide open here, I assume. You're saying their party's been taken over and hijacked. Dan's essentially saying it's an alliance, not a hijacking. How do you see the business-minded members of the Republican Party looking out on this influence of the Christian right? Did it look like a useful new engine to them? Did they lose their own control? Without understanding what was going on.
This is the theory of Thomas Frank's book about Kansas. I think it's titled "What's Wrong with Kansas." That is, that it is an alliance, that traditional Republicans have viewed the Christian conservatives as a new source of support and a new source of energy for the party. And I'm sure that's right. I mean, I'm sure that, party politics is about building coalitions, and this is what they've done. And it's worked for a time. I don't think it's going to work for long, because I think that once the American people focus on this, they don't want a sectarian political party.
Dan, do you see it as sectarian ultimately? Whatever the origin may be, do you see a sectarian divide opening because of it?
I think that there is a real, if you, in my mind, I think there is a real danger of the Republican Party becoming increasingly taken over by the religious right, and I'm concerned about that. But I think that the people, the real people in power, the historical and classical, if you will, power elites, are they're not about to let that happen. The only way that's going to happen is if we have a real revolt in this country, I think. And the rich and powerful seems to me always manage to make it go their way. And I would submit that if Senator Danforth, you know, supports the party of low taxes, I wonder if he thinks that with the federal deficits where they are, and with the nation at war, and supposedly this war on terror, et cetera, I wonder if he thinks that we've got the taxes tweaked just about right.
Dan,
now.
Thanks for calling in from Spokane. John Danforth, how about that?
I'm very concerned about the federal deficit, and have been ever since I first went to the Senate back in 1976, and it's out of this world now compared to then. I'm very concerned about the sustainability of our economy with these huge deficits. I'm very concerned about the effect that paying the bill for Social Security and Medicare is going to have on the economy of our country. Yeah, I mean, I spent all of my time when I was in the Senate, or a lot of my time, worried about the deficit. I never worried about gay marriage. I worried about the deficit in the federal budget, and that's, you know, one of the reasons why I have been a Republican. And I think that my party and the Democrats, for that reason, are not sufficiently interested in the size of the deficit. I don't think, you know, this is, I guess, my basic Republican philosophy. I don't think that this is all a function of how high we can raise taxes, and that if only taxes are high enough, we can make a strong economy or we can cure the deficit problem. I just don't believe that.
But we've cut them, and we've got the problems you describe, and we've got what you describe as this tendency toward theocracy, your view. Peter's calling from Narragansett, Rhode Island. Hi, Peter. You're on the air with John Danforth.
Hello. Yes, I wanted to first congratulate the senator on his courage for taking the stand that he has. To fly in the face of some of these people, I think, is very courageous, especially with the smear campaigns that have been mounted against a lot of people that tend to disagree with the establishment. I have always considered myself a liberal or a progressive, and I was just totally amazed when I suddenly realized that I was a conservative. That I want to go back to the time of the 1950s and 60s, you know, when America, when there really was freedom of religion, but there was also freedom from religion.
So what party is going to take you there today, Peter?
I don't think either party is going to take me there. I don't have faith that either one is going to stop pandering to their own fringe groups. I think that we're going to have to wait and really hope that somebody comes in and stands up and says, look, I'm not a Republican, I'm not a Democrat, I'm a person who wants to run for president to put this person, to put this country back in a direction that is going to restore all of the stuff that we've lost in the last 5 years.
Peter, thanks for your call. Let's turn to a voice that might like to see itself in that position. You decide. John Danforth is with us in Chicago. Joining us right now from Little Rock, Arkansas, is Governor Mike Huckabee, governor of Arkansas, seen by many as a contender for the 08 Republican presidential campaign. Mike Huckabee, thanks very much for joining us.
Well, thank you, Tom. Senator, it's a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you.
Governor Huckabee, you know John Danforth is out on the stump right now saying the Republican Party has got big problems. It's been hijacked by the religious right, taken over. It's a problem for the party and a problem for the country. You've been seen as a friend of the conservative religious right. Do you agree with John Danforth that there's a problem here?
I think it's a matter of perspective. Many people would say that I'm from the religious right. I tell people I didn't sort of go to the faith community with my politics. I went to the political world from the faith community. I was a pastor.
Like John Danforth.
Exactly. A lot of the reasons that I got involved in public policy was because, as a pastor, I saw every social pathology there is and could put a name and face on it. And I often felt that people in public life were not necessarily addressing some of the issues and the root causes. But I don't have all the answers. I'll be the first to tell you that one thing that does concern me is more of an attitude more than it is the action. And there are many people who, as people of faith, have presented themselves with sort of a sense of, I'm right all the time, I've never been wrong, and that is problematic. So, frankly, I think those of us, and I consider myself a conservative Christian evangelical, I'm comfortable talking with people who many would just find an anathema out there on the religious right and their friends, but I do think that we've got to broaden the message, and we've got to make sure that if we talk about being pro-life, that pro-life means we care about that child after he's born and not just while he's in the period of gestation.
John Danforth, here's Governor Huckabee, maybe a contender for the White House, and you hear him say he's a conservative Christian evangelical, but he doesn't really want to be associated with a sectarian America. Can he have it both ways?
Sure. And I think what the governor said is something that we should all think about, and that is when he says he doesn't have all the answers. I don't have all the answers, and I think that all of us who are religious people try to be faithful in our lives. At least we should, and we try to be faithful if we're engaged in politics in our politics. And the question is the degree of humility or the degree of certainty with which we do that. And I think that when religion becomes divisive, it becomes divisive because there's a sense of, I'm on God's side, you're not, I've got God's truth, you don't, I can interpret God's truth in a political agenda, my agenda is God's and you're against it. I think that that is the tendency when religion becomes involved in politics. It doesn't have to be that way. It can be a very reconciling force if it brings with it a sense of humility.
Mike Huckabee, I'm sure you would not along with that. On the other hand, if you reach out and gain the support of the Christian right, let's say in a bid for the White House, can you really maintain that kind of posture when you've got Focus on the Family and so many big Christian groups out there who make no bones about having God on their side and exactly the policies they want to see this government, the U.S. government, supporting, and are making a lot of noise just this last weekend in Washington about unhappiness with the GOP because it's not? Can you lean on that support and have the kind of open-mindedness that you're describing?
Well, I happened to speak Friday at the Family Research Council's conference, and one of the things that I said in that group was that we need to be very careful that we don't lose the opportunity to partner with people with whom we disagree, but with particular issues we could find alliance. I don't know how popular it was a comment, but I said if we could team up with feminists to fight the exploitation of women and pornography and the abuse of women, then we should do so. If we could team up with even homosexual activists to fight AIDS, then we should do it. Doesn't mean we want to redefine marriage, which, frankly, I don't. I think marriage ought to be preserved and protected as how it's historically been held. There's some misunderstanding, I think, of what motivates a lot of people in Christian circles. It's not necessarily a spirit of hate. There is a sense of outrage that many of the time-held institutions, be it marriage or family, are being attacked, and there are those who wish to redefine it. And I think that every citizen who pays taxes has a right to participate in government. I would agree that we've got to be careful that we don't say that this is God's view of taxation, because I'm not sure that anybody can come forward and say that God is for an excise tax on tires, or that he isn't. I think that's really a stretch when we start pushing it down to there. But I think there are certain things that are sacred to people who are people of faith, and that would be the sanctity of life. It certainly would be the definition of marriage and family. And it's cause many people to get involved in politics who wouldn't have.
Mm. Senator Danforth, you've been around the block a few times. What's your advice to Governor Mike Huckabee here? Can he rely on the support of the Christian right groups that you say have taken over, hijacked the GOP, and maintain the kind of moderation that you're calling for? Or does he become part and parcel of it by accepting their support?
Well, I think the Christian right has put forth a very hard-edged agenda. And, you know, I mean, there are a lot of things that a lot of people can agree with, you know, that we're for helping people in need and so on and so forth. But this particular agenda is one that has been devised not to bring us together, but to split us apart. Let's take the proposed amendment to the Constitution to define marriage. Now, I also happen to believe that marriage is between a man and a woman. But to put forth this as a political agenda based on a decision by a Massachusetts court, to me, is needlessly interjecting a very, very hard-edged issue into American politics. And the idea, and this was what was voted for last summer, of amending the U.S. Constitution to define marriage is something that, to me, really is pandering to the Christian right. Because whatever you think about the definition of marriage, it is not the kind of thing that belongs in the U.S. Constitution.
Mike Huckabee, do you agree?
U.S. Constitution is about the role and scope and power of government. It is not about defining social issues.
Governor Huckabee, do you agree? And if you do, are you part of a hijacking?
Well, I would respectfully disagree with the senator, and I say respectfully because I have great respect for him and his position. In this case, however, I don't think there would be any attempt to amend the Constitution if there was not a prior attempt to rewrite really the definitions of not just the Christian Bible, but the Jewish tradition and the Muslim tradition and every tradition of marriage. I think sometimes it's almost as if Christians get blamed for reacting when, in fact, they wouldn't be if there weren't those groups on the far left who want to rewrite the very social fabric of the country.
Governor Mike Huckabee in Little Rock, Arkansas, thank you very much for joining us.
It's a pleasure. Thank you. Senator, good to talk to you.
Mike Huckabee spoke over the weekend at the Values Voters Summit in Washington, D.C., sponsored by the Family Research Council. Mario's calling from Washington, D.C. Hi, Mario. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you?
Very well. What do you see, Mario?
Well, just a couple of points for the senator. First, thank you very much for having the courage to write your book and to speak about it. And as a Texan, I would encourage you, Senator, to do so actively in Texas, where the hijacking is at an all-time high. Secondly, what can I, as a Republican Latino, do to affiliate with an organization in Washington, D.C. that reflects your common sense perspective in order to combat the hate politics of Pat Buchanan, Jerry Falwell, and other political fearmongers?
John Danforth, Mario's ready to be on your side. Where can he affiliate? What can he do?
No, I'm very happy to hear that, because I think that participation in politics and speaking out and being active is exactly the antidote to this problem. There are various groups that are formed. Former Congressman Amo Houghton, I think, is called the Main Street Coalition. So I think that's right. Mm-hmm. Christine Todd Whitman, it's my party too. But beyond that, I think that just being active and expressing yourself and showing up at political meetings and stating your point of view is important, because I think that the more people who think about this and who talk about it and become active in this regard, the healthier we're going to be.
Is there still room for those people in the Republican Party, or is it too toxic for them now, in your view, as you describe it?
Sure, there's room, and one of the heartening things that's happened, I wrote a couple of op-ed pieces last year in the New York Times, and I got a lot of response on them, and particularly a lot of response from people who called themselves traditional Republicans. And their basic statement to me was, it's about time. We've been waiting for somebody to say this. So there are a lot of Republicans who feel this way, and I would hope they would be more and more outspoken.
Let's take a call from Ithaca, New York. Ann is on the line. Hi, Ann. You're on the air.
Hi. When I first saw this segment, I was surprised to see Senator Danforth, who led the mumbo-jumbo to put the clearly inferior Clarence Thomas on the Supreme Court. Would George Bush be president today without Clarence Thomas? And what part of the religious right is responsible for an attorney general writing the American policy on torturing renditioned prisoners?
Anne, we got it. And we hear the passion in the questions as well. John Danforth, Anne basically says, look, you helped this happen, sir. You Clarence Thomas' vote was critical, of course, in 2000, and you helped put him on. In the book, you're giving us a mea culpa on that. She also asked you about torture. Oh, how would you describe it?
No. I'm saying in the book that the politics of personal destruction is something that all of us should combat, whether we're conservatives or liberals. It's not right to try to destroy a person in order to win a political point or to win a political battle. And this is something that can be done by Democrats and by Republicans as well. Why did I support Clarence Thomas? Because he's my friend. And I hired him right out of law school. He came to work for me when I was state attorney general in Missouri. He worked in my Senate office. And whatever you think about his jurisprudence or whether you agree with his opinions or not, he is one of the kindest and most decent human beings I've ever known.
He's your friend.
I have seen him, just sobbing because he was so hurt by this. And I think it's wrong whether it's done by a Republican or by a Democrat.
How about the torture issue and where you see the U.S. government going in its policy in the last couple of years?
I'm against torture. Who isn't? But we now have a problem that we have never faced before, and that is the problem of terror. As of 9/11, now this is front and center. It's the great threat to America. And our politics has been, instead of dealing with it, I think, in a constructive fashion, it's as though all of our politics is developing 30-second commercials for the next campaign. One side calling the other cut-and-run cowards, the other side calling the president a liar. We've got a serious problem. And we need excellent intelligence if we're going to deal with terror, and we're going to have to do it and balance it with our traditional concerns for liberty. And how to do that is something we're going to have to work on, but this is much more than a partisan political issue.
Let me take a call from Augusta, Georgia. Warren's on the line. Hi, Warren. You're on the air.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hello.
When you're talking about conservatives and the moral issue, it's like the wolves is protecting the sheep from the grizzlies, you know. But the people in the country is really on the conservative side. Even the blacks who fought for civil rights, but we do not like the fact that we have to give up civil rights for immoral acts such as homosexual who are infringing on our children in our homes. So the conservatives have taken on those issues and are winning on those moral issues. And so, Senator, when you're saying about talking about they're taking over the party, anytime you're dealing with issues such as immoral issues, even the fact that pulling a baby's out of a woman's womb, it's also a moral issue. When you start talking about those things, those issues are definitely winnable issues because it deals into the heart of the children and the fabric of the family. And so it's a losing issue for the Democrats if they don't get on board and take on the those issues as far as what is right and what is wrong for the family itself.
Warren, we've got it. Senator Danforth, what do you say to our caller from Augusta?
I say that people with strong moral views should express their views and express them in their homes and in their communities and express them to politicians. But I say that there is a difference between religion and politics. And if religious certainty is imported into politics and becomes a political agenda, then it is destructive to our country. And I think most people believe that. I think most people in our country believe that somehow we've got to hold ourselves together as a country and we cannot divide on religious lines.
I want to welcome in a political voice that has welcomed the influence of the Christian right. Richard Viguerie is with us from Manassas, Virginia, longtime conservative activist, author of the new book Conservatives Betrayed, How George W. Bush and Other Big Government Republicans Hijacked the Conservative Cause. Richard Viguerie, thanks very much for being with us. You're talking about a hijacking, too. What do you think of John Danforth's critique of the GOP?
Hi, Tom. Good to be with you again. And, Senator, hello. Well, you know, it's interesting that we can see things so very, very different. If this is a hijacking, a taking over, it has escaped almost all of the religious voters out there, those religious leaders. We don't see that we've gotten much from this administration, quite frankly, other than lip service. Who from the religious right community that was so instrumental in the president's election, re-election in 2004, has been appointed to, you know, help run this country? I mean, where are the religious right appointments in this administration? Where are the, you know, views and values? This seems to me be an administration of, by, for, and behalf of corporate America, Wall Street. And if there's been a takeover, I think most Americans have missed it.
John Danforth, we had James Dobson over the weekend from Focus on the Family saying there's disillusionment out there with Republicans. That worries me greatly. Richard Viguerie picking up the same theme here. What hijacking? They're not getting what they want, he says.
No, I think their passing grade is 100%. And this is... I mean,
if they don't get everything,
kind of,
they won't be satisfied.
Sure, this is part of the polarization of the Republican Party, that you've got to be with us, you got to be with us all the way. Here's our agenda. It consists of the gay marriage issue, the stem cell issue. It consisted of Terri Schiavo and this and that. And by the way, who have you appointed? And here's our list. I don't know the answer to that, but I mean, I'm sure that they do have a full-fledged list of who they want to be appointed to these various positions and be with us all the way, be with us 100%. And I think that that's what we've come to as a party.
Richard Viguerie, if the GOP...
Let me just say that's disingenuous. He says we want 100%. Name one well-known Christian values leader or person that's been appointed by this president in his second term. Where are they? He says we want 100%. How about 1%, Senator? How about 5%?
You're a political analyst, Richard Viguerie. If the GOP should pull away from the Christian right in the manner that John Danforth prescribes, what do you imagine would be the political fallout of that, the implications at the polls in terms of power in this country?
Tom, I wouldn't say that we would pull away. I would say the Republican leadership, starting with President Bush and the Republican leaders in the House and the Senate, they have pulled away from the religious conservative voters. And they've really have not given these voters any significant reason to go to the polls except to scare them. They're saying, in essence, yeah, we're not any big prize. We've basically given you lip service and abandoned our campaign promises to you. But those other fellows are even worse.
What would it mean if the GOP uncoupled from the Christian right? What would it mean for the GOP politically?
Well, it would mean they would go back to getting the type of vote that they got back in the 50s, the 60s, and the 70s, 40, 45, sometimes 47%, but not very often 51%. And that's the real nub of this debate that's going on here now, is that people who are coming at politics, public policy from the left, are outraged that the Republicans have put together a successful governing coalition where we can consistently get 51, 53, 55% of the vote. And what they want to do is drive out of American politics, drive out of the public policy debate those who have strong values, those who have traditional moral values in America, drive them out of politics so that the liberals can once again govern America.
Richard Viguerie, author of Conservatives Betrayed, thanks very much for being with us. John Danforth, what do you say to that view?
I don't want to drive anybody out of politics. But I don't want the Republican Party to be identified with one sectarian position either. I want more people engaged in politics. I want centrists engaged in politics. I want people engaged in politics who believe that we've got to hold the country together and that we cannot divide on religious grounds. So I want more people to participate, not less.
Jeff's calling from Watertown, Massachusetts. Jeff, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Good afternoon.
Hi. What do you see, Jeff? What do you think?
Well, one thing I find odd is that Christians would go towards the Republican Party when, you know, Jesus's teachings were humility, tolerance, peace, love, help the sick, help the poor. When the Republican Party doesn't really push those issues the way the Democrats do. And I would think they would have gone towards the Democratic Party, one which does pay a lot of attention to equality and charity and peace.
Jeff, thanks for your call. Let me get one more from Buffalo, New York. Dave's on the line. Hi, Dave. You're on the air with John Danforth.
Hi, Tom. Thank you very much. I guess my point would be that I see the right, that the conservative voters are actually being pandered and used by the current Republican strategy, and I wonder why they're not resentful for that.
Well, I heard resentment of a sort in Richard Viguerie's comments there.
Yes, that's correct. I think that what I was in agreement with him until he began to redefine morals, because as your previous caller from Watertown said, we also have moral issues, but they're not as xenophobic, let's say, as the current far right.
Dave, we've got it. John Danforth, let me ask you, we hear this debate and we see your big part in it here, but if this is as corrosive to fundamental American values as you write in your book, Faith and Politics, if we've got a tendency toward theocracy, as you describe it, emerging in this country, a major party hijacked, taken over, your solution sounds so kind of laid back and moderate. Is it up to the challenge?
Well, I think it is, because I think that the principle of holding the country together is so fundamental. I mean, this is what our Constitution was written to do. This is what the Civil War was fought over, to hold the country together.
Do you really think it's at risk of tearing apart?
I do.
What would that look like?
Well, I think that religion, when it engages in politics, can do it in a reconciling way or it can do it in a very divisive way. And I think that the way it's being done is very divisive. I mean, for example, I have had Jewish Republicans express to me their concern about what the Republican Party is becoming and has become. Now, these are people who, for a lot of reasons, have been Republicans and have made major contributions and given a lot of time and resources to the Republican Party, and they're concerned about the mix of religion and politics. They do believe it's corrosive.
If we've got Civil War-scale stakes here, your words, is there a point at which John Danforth walks away from what you describe as the hijacked party, or do you stick with it no matter what?
Well, I'm a Republican, and I'm a Republican for all the usual reasons, and I encourage Republicans to stick with it, because the American people do not want a sectarian party.
But you say your party's hijacked. Do you stick with it anyway? What does it mean to stick with a party if we take you seriously?
Because it's because this can be salvaged, and it will. I am an optimist about not only the Republican Party, but the future of our country. Most people want this country to stick together. Most people do not want a sectarian political party. And for that reason, this mix of religion and politics is going to change.
Three-term U.S. Senator, Republican from Missouri, John Danforth, has joined us from Chicago. The new book is Faith and Politics, How the Moral Values Debate Divides America and How to Move Forward Together. Senator Danforth, thanks for your work and thinking. Thanks very much for being with us today.
Thank you.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.